This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guests are once again Matt McFarland and Amanda Hahn, owners of Keystone CPA in Orange County. Matt has over 20 years of experience in public accounting as a CPA and tax strategist. He has worked for both the Big Four and regional CPA firms. Amanda has over 18 years of experience as a CPA with special emphasis in real estate, self-directed investing, and individual tax planning. Amanda has extensive Big Four public accounting experience, and you can catch her book on Bigger Pockets, Tax Strategies for Savvy Real Estate Investors. Matt and Amanda, we welcome you back. It's only been a couple weeks, but we finally sort of have a final document. So I'm so glad to get to speak with you.
Thank you so much for having us, Bruce. It's really a very exciting time for us right now.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, you know, since you've had about, 6 hours to digest the 1,000-page document, I'll just say up front, there may be some questions that I'm going to ask, or if feel free to say, you know what, I'm just not sure yet. That's perfectly fair, okay? So some of the things I'm going to cover first is maybe the things that didn't change at all, just to kind of get those out of the way. So are there anything new with taxes for the state of California?
Not that we're hearing, not that we're aware of. So, but California does, you know, obviously work a little behind schedule after the IRS. So it might take them a few months to kind of catch up, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, and that's a good question, too, because, historically speaking, based on what we see, a lot of times when the IRS comes out with new tax deductions or immediate write-offs, historically, California does not follow the federal rule. So it'll be exciting to figure out, you know, or to see whether or not California is actually going to follow federal in terms of some of these tax benefits that we're seeing.
Okay. Anything new with the withholding of Social Security tax or Medicare tax?
No, not that we've seen in terms of payroll related taxes with respect to the tax reform. One of the interesting things is that the net investment tax, which came out as part of the Obamacare package, actually also remains unchanged as well. And that's the 3.8% additional tax that started a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was...
And, go ahead. The reason that's interesting is because part of this new tax reform is they've actually, starting in, I think, 2019, they have repealed the mandate that requires everyone to have health insurance, which that 3.8% tax was supposed to be put in place to curb the cost of the health insurance. But if they're so they're not getting rid of that, but they're getting rid of the requirement to have health insurance. So go figure, right?
Yeah, that's I noticed that. You know, I read that what you said over pretty carefully. Any changes to capital gains rates?
There is no change to capital gains rates per se. So they still have the 0% capital gains rate for people in the lower income brackets. They still have the regular 15% rate, and then they have the 20% rate for people in the kind of the higher income brackets. The only thing that slightly changed on there is the dollar amounts as to when the 15% rate kicks in and when the 20% rate kicks in, but it hasn't changed much from 2017. So essentially, it's pretty much the same.
Okay. I think I'm accurate saying is about 100% of Democrats voted against the bill, and this isn't a political statement. So my first question is, does it lower the tax bill for most Americans?
Yeah, that's interesting. So I think on average, what we're reading is that it's gonna lower the taxes for probably 95% of Americans in 2018, with about 5% of people still seeing it actually increase in their taxes.
Yeah, and what's also interesting is that research is showing are that the Americans in the 95th percentile, which are, you know, the most wealthy, are the group that gets the biggest tax breaks. or is going to save the most in terms of income taxes. So that, you know, kind of going back to what you mentioned, Bruce, that that might be one of the reasons why, you know, you don't see any Democrats voting for it. But yeah, but the good news, though, is still, you know, I don't know if that's really good news, but that most Americans should expect to see lower taxes overall.
And just to piggyback on that a little bit, I think one of the things that jumped out at me was, and I guess this is kind of the way it is already, but it just still, you know, going into this a while ago, I thought that the intention, one of the intentions was tax cuts, obviously, but I thought one of the intentions was to simplify things. And it doesn't look like they've accomplished that, obviously. But one of the takeaways I saw was that, you know, you could have two families with the exact same amount of income, you know, let's pick a number, $200,000, and they could pay, you know, different amount of taxes because it's going to depend on, you know, the makeup of their family, what type of income they're earning, you know, maybe where they live. So again, just because you and your neighbor have, you know, the same amount of taxable income of 150 grand, whatever the number is, don't expect it necessarily you're paying the same amount as they are.
That was interesting because one of the questions that I had was, okay, how do you become unfortunate enough to be that 5% that pay more? So what are they single or, you know, what, or is there makeup of their income just the wrong type, or do we know yet what exactly that is?
Yeah, you know, what's really interesting is, you know, as CPAs, you know, in historically speaking, the group that generally pays the highest tax or the most amount of tax are the W-2 income earners, right? So someone who, you know, the majority of the income is from W-2, don't necessarily have a side business or a business that they own, and don't invest in assets such as real estate. And so that's historically what we've seen. I think as part of the tax reform, that remains unchanged, unfortunately. So Matt and I were just discussing today, it's like, you know, for some of our clients who are just W-2 and you may be starting out to do real estate but don't really have a lot of real estate yet, a lot of these loopholes and changes and benefits don't really help them as much as, you know, some other taxpayers who are, you know, business owners or real estate investors. That's the larger group where more of the tax benefits that will be coming in will benefit. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, the 95th percentile. I'm assuming those people are not W-2 workers.
Probably,
I think there's that middle range of high, yeah, of high income W-2 that, you know, might not be seeing as big of a tax savings as, you know, again, a business owner or a real estate investor.
So let's talk about the deductions, first of all. So the current itemized deductions, we get to deduct state and local tax, real estate taxes. Are there any limits for those categories in 2017?
So currently for 2017, you have itemized deductions. You're deducting your state and local income tax, your property taxes on your primary residence. You know, DMV fees, which, you know, they don't add up to a lot. Medical expenses if they exceed a certain threshold. You've got your charitable contributions. And there's a bunch of other kind of miscellaneous itemized deductions that people can get if they exceed 2% of somebody's income. So those are the big ticket items.
But there's no limit. So if you pay 100 grand in state and local income taxes, you're going to get to deduct that on the federal income tax.
Generally speaking, yeah, there is an overall limit on itemized deductions depending on somebody's income, and there's like three ways to go with that calculation. But effectively, yes, there's no per se limit on the actual state taxes or the property taxes per se.
Okay, and in starting for the taxable year next year, what does that change to?
So starting in 2018, the maximum tax deduction, and this is the combination of primary home property taxes and state income taxes, will be capped at $10,000. So if you're someone who, you know, in the state of California, if you pay $20,000 in income taxes and $10,000 in state taxes, state income and property taxes, of that total $30,000, only $10,000 is tax deductible. Significant hit to those who live in higher state income taxes like California and New York. So, you know, as we head towards the end of the year, you know, there's not much time left at all. But, you know, we are trying to encourage a lot of our clients to, if you find yourself to be someone with anticipation of in 2018 paying more than $10,000 in total state and property taxes to consider prepaying for those before 12/31/2017. There are instances where you might be someone who is in alternative minimum tax that you're paying AMT, where you might kind of lose out on some of the benefits of prepaying, but it still could make sense to prepay if you have the cash available, because what we know for sure is that only $10,000 will be deductible in the future. And if you prepay this year, there's still that possibility of getting some savings, even if you're phased out under AMT purposes.
Currently, the interest that I owe on my residence and a second home up to what, $1.1 million is deductible?
Right.
And that changed?
Yeah, that's currently. Yeah, so that's the current law. Going forward, it's what a couple things is changing there is, the interest is going to be deductible on a loan, an acquisition loan for a new acquisition loan of related to your principal and one of the residents up to a total loan balance of $750,000. So, meaning if you buy a new house next year for $900,000, you can deduct interest on the first $750,000. Now, a couple questions we've been getting is what happens to existing mortgages? So you've got, you bought your house already or 3 years ago, whatever. If your existing mortgage is $900,000, nothing's changing for you. So going forward, you can still deduct interest on up to $900,000. It's really in relation to new loans that you take out starting in 2018.
Wow. That's interesting. Okay. Because, if you have a significant mortgage, then you might stay put for that reason. That's interesting.
Yeah, and just to clarify, the $750,000 cap is for new loans on new primary home acquisitions. It is not. It does not apply to investment properties.
So, correct. Does it apply to a second home?
Kind of rental? Yeah.
You can add either. You can do your principal in one other home. The other thing is that you mentioned the 1.1. Right now, there's. On the, you can do a deduct interest up to $1 million and then an interest on another $100,000, which is usually like a HELOC for most people. Going forward, that HELOC is not going to be deductible. The interest on the HELOC is not going to be deductible unless you are using it, deducting it somewhere else, like against a rental property. You use the proceeds to buy a rental property or you buy a business or something. But just, right now, somebody theoretically could borrow $100,000, go on vacation and pay interest on that and deduct the interest.
Okay.
That's not going to be allowed forward.
Okay. Donations for charity as far as being deductible?
Yeah, the only thing that, the interesting thing, nothing's really changing there. The only thing that changed was that right now they have a cap on you can take a deduction up to 50% of your AGI, but going forward is actually they're going to bump that up to 60%. So that can help. Maybe that's helping the 95 percentile people that are donating 50 or 60%.
Okay.
But I think even though the cap is going up next year, if you're someone, I know you guys donate a lot at the Norris Group, but if you're someone who just kind of donates every year, it could make sense to accelerate the donation to this year, just in looking at the difference in tax rates. If you're someone in 39% this year, you expect to be 32% or 24% next year, then it definitely makes sense to consider accelerating the deductions, but you're saving at a much higher rate.
Have you seen an estimate of how many families currently itemize deductions and how that might change with the new rules?
I have not seen an estimate of that in a while. I know when we talked last time, we had looked up and the latest data we saw was like 2014 or 15, and I unfortunately don't remember that number, but I'm guessing for the people that live in like California, New York, the high state income tax states, they're going to see a drastic decrease in how many of those people are claiming itemized deductions, my guess is. But everyone maybe the rest of the country, maybe they've already been taking standard deduction and, they're just going to get an extra standard deduction going forward. But
yeah, I don't know the exact, percentage of decrease, but I recall from the Tax Policy Center, it was a significant amount or a significant number of people who will be likely moving over to taking standard deduction. So it's interesting. I think, with fewer people itemizing and them taking away the ability to deduct tax preparation fees, then maybe you'll see fewer CPAs actually in business. And then we'll all just turn into real estate investors full time.
Okay. Maybe there's some
best, really, really good investment group that needs an in-house accountant or something.
Yeah.
I kind of played around with an example, and I don't necessarily have to go through all the numbers, but then there was a category I hadn't really thought about. I said, married couple with two kids, and they had the median price home. They owed $400,000 on it. So I did all the math on that. But then I remembered there was, in 2017, you have personal exemptions.
Right.
So they had four of those times how much? $4,150?
Yeah, $4,000 each, so about $16,000 right now.
And in 2018, that's gone completely too, correct?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, theoretically, it's supposed to be replaced with the doubling of higher standard deductions. But yeah, I mean, one of the things is the doubling of the standard deductions is great for certain people, but for another person in your scenario, a larger household with multiple kids, and maybe they were claiming their elderly parents as dependents, they might be someone who's losing out as a result of the change. So it really differs from person to person, who's going to come out ahead.
Yeah, the deductions went from $40,000 to basically just taking the standard deduction in that one, in that example. I don't necessarily have to go over it blow by blow, but I was just curious myself. So everything that they had to deduct basically equaled the standard deduction. And of course, you have lower rates too. So I'm real interested in this category, AMT. I looked at my taxes for 2015 and 2016. Having to pay AMT raised my federal tax 18% in both of those years. So what major category of income or deductions caused AMT to kick in? And how is that going to change after this tax rule changes?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, for those of us who live in California, the biggest ticket item that puts people into AMT is state income tax deduction. So again, AMT is just this kind of this parallel tax system that was put in place, 30 years ago to prevent the wealthy from using a bunch of loopholes to avoid paying taxes. So that, the IRS wants everyone to pay a quote unquote minimum level tax. But for AMT purposes, this is parallel tax. You don't get to deduct state income taxes. So when somebody has taken a big deduction of state income tax relative to all their other income, especially if they live in California, they're just more likely to be in AMT. So going forward, I think, theoretically with that big deduction going away, there's going to be, the potential impact of AMT is hopefully going to be less. I mean, that's kind of what we're thinking on the face of it. But there are also a couple other changes to AMT. When you do the calculation, there's a certain amount of the first amount of income is tax-free for AMT. Right now, like a married couple, the exemption amount is about $85,000. So your first $85,000, you don't pay any AMT taxes on. Going forward, that exemption amount is going up to $109,000 for a married couple. So basically, they're giving you some more money free from AMT taxes. And then before that, or right now, I guess, the exemption amount phases out as your income goes higher. And it's not, it phases out pretty quickly, actually. But starting in 2018, married couples got to make $1 million before that $109,000 AMT exemption amount or exclusion amount goes away. So all that being said, I think the AMT tax is going to be less impactful going forward. But, interestingly, they were trying to repeal it altogether, I think, in one of the previous versions that we read, and then that seemed to go away at the end for some reason. So,
okay. Do you consider the tax change bill pro real estate if for occupant owners? In other words, for the real estate industry, if you're in the business of supplying occupant homes, for homeowners, what do you think the impact of this is?
So for residential real estate, essentially, I think that there are several changes coming out that are beneficial. not specifically. I mean, there are some that are specific to real estate on the housing side, but the majority of the deductions for business expenses also apply to real estate investors, because to some extent the IRS do treat real estate activity as a regular business, just as if you were owning a Subway franchise. So I think overall, holistically, yes, that there are many changes that should be helpful to real estate investors, reducing overall taxable income.
Okay, this question was directed to homeownership period, though. So I was going to break
homeowners.
That's right. Homeowners. So the industry that provides occupant owners real estate, does this tax bill likely harm that industry or help it? Do you have more reasons to own a home today than you did yesterday? That type of thing.
I think that, well, it really depends. I think that for, a vast majority of Americans, the cap on mortgage interest deduction to $750 should not really have a huge impact. I know, speaking from California, specifically Orange County, it does impact a lot of people. But at large, I don't think that's really something that's going to significantly limit people from owning a home. Other than that, there's not much. I mean, property taxes is part of it. But, I think I've heard you speak before, just outside of taxes. I mean, people who are going to own a home are going to own it for reasons outside of tax savings. And I think the impact of limiting the mortgage side of it is not really that significant.
Yeah. And by the way, I wasn't trying to coax a specific answer. I really do want your opinion. Okay. So do you consider the tax changes on the bill pro real estate if you're investors?
Yeah. Yeah. I think definitely pro real estate if you're investors. I mean, there are things that are now going to, well, starting next year, are going to benefit investors that never were available before. So yes, definitely a lot of changes that are beneficial to real estate investors going forward.
Okay. We're going to kind of cover that in a category all its own, because I'm very interested in what a pass-through business is and how you maybe get a part of that. Okay. One other category, do you consider the tax bill positive or negative for charities? Do you see that being a problem?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think that, again, the deduction on the actual donor side is, they're not making it harder. They're actually making it allowed to deduct a little bit more. I guess the question would be is the tax cut going to do what they're telling you it's going to do in terms of stimulate the economy? People spend more money. If people spend more money, do they inevitably donate more money?
Okay.
I think if people have more money, they might be more willing to donate. But the question is whether they're going to actually spend that money. And,
Yeah, I think that, I think there's two schools of thought, by doubling the standard deduction, fewer people are going to itemize. And charitable donations are one of those itemized deductions.
Correct.
So I know there are proponents who say, okay, well, you're doubling it now, the charities will be hurt. But what we see also, though, is that a lot of the higher income earners are still going to itemize. And those are the people who are generally able to donate a significant amount of their income or their net worth every year to real estate. And the fact that the tax changes are now increasing it, the cap from 50% to 60%, you might see some, larger donations from those with higher income and higher net worth. So I don't know, on a whole, which one is going to outweigh the other, but I could see it kind of both ways. Maybe lower income people might donate less and higher income people might be able or willing to donate more.
Okay. Let's talk about corporate income. So the current top tax rate right now is what, 35?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And the new rate is?
It's a 21% flat tax. So actually right now, the current law is it starts at zero and it's a graduated scale. It gets all the way to 35 and it actually gets there pretty quickly. But going forward, it's actually going to be a total flat tax. So, up 21%. So that's good for the people that are companies that were paying, obviously the 35% rate. That could be bad for the companies that were paying at the 15% rate, but that's effectively what's happening.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Do you mind giving us giving your phone number out?
Yeah, sure. Our number is 1-877-975-0975.
All right. Well, you guys have a great Christmas season. And Matt and Amanda, thanks for joining us again.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.